This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind archives.
The Power of Affirmative Thinking by Ernest Holmes. There is a power for good in the universe greater than you are. We all believe this. The question is, why don't we use this power more effectively? If all things are possible to faith, why is it that we don't have more faith? If affirmative prayers are answered, why don't we always pray affirmatively? Let's try to figure out just how we can better cooperate with the law of mind in action. And first, let us begin with the thought that we are all united with invisible forces which are creative, that already we are one with a universal mind which can do anything. Next, let us consider that we are centers in this mind, and that the sum total of all our thoughts is either silently attracting good to us or repelling it from us. The third is that we can change our thinking, and in so doing, cause the law of good to act affirmatively for us instead of negatively. Well, let's start with the first idea, number one. We are surrounded by a creative mind which reacts to our thought. This is the basis of all faith and all effective prayer. This is why Jesus told us that when we pray, we should believe we already have what we desire. When Jesus said that it is done unto us and done unto us as we believe, he implied that there is a power that can, will, and in fact must react to us. But this power has no choice other than to react to us in the way we think. This power acts as a law operating on our beliefs. This is why he said it is done unto us as we believe. Up until the time of Jesus, it had been believed that God might help us, that there were concessions he would make if we pleased him, or if we perform certain rites or ceremonials. Well, Jesus changed these superstitions into certainties. He said simply and directly that there is a power that operates on your belief in the way that you believe. Therefore, he added, be sure that you believe that you already have what you desire, and then the law of good will bring it about. But even the law of good, which is all-powerful, can bring you only as much good as you take. And this taking is an act of your own mind. It is an act of faith. No one else, before the time of Jesus, had ever made a claim such as this. And only within the last 100 years or less have people really come to realize what it is that Jesus was talking about. That there actually is a spiritual principle in which we all are rooted, which operates on our faith, our conviction, and our acceptance. It is the very simplicity that causes us to overlook its deep and dynamic meaning. You see, Jesus was really saying this: you are surrounded by a mind, a power, an intelligence, or a principle that receives the impress of your thought and acts upon it exactly as you think. Your thought is like an image held in front of a mirror. The mirror will always reflect the image exactly as you think into it. The mirror itself is a law reflecting back to you what you think. And now we come to our second proposition. We are thinking and active centers in this mind. And the sum total of all our thoughts is either silently attracting our good to us or repelling it from us. This shows the part that we are to play in our use of the power that is greater than we are, because it is the sum total of all our thinking that we must consider. And in doing this, one of the first things we learn is that about 90% of our thinking is unconscious. They now tell us that 85% of our accidents are unconsciously invited, that at least 75% of our diseases are unconsciously influenced, that our success and failure in life is largely unconscious, and of course, our happiness and misery is entirely so. You see, scientific investigation verifies what you and I are talking about. Most of our thinking is unconscious. Here are where habit patterns of thought are laid down from very infancy, and it should be our purpose to find out what these thought patterns are. When they are unhappy or morbid or filled with fear, we should change them, that the natural, normal flow of the life force itself shall be resumed. Last, we have got the proposition where we can handle it. So we come to our third idea, that we can change our thinking, and in so doing cause the law of mind to act affirmatively for us instead of negatively. It may seem astonishing, but Jesus actually gave us a technique for this, and perhaps the greatest technique that was ever given, undoubtedly the greatest. He told us that when our faith is in the good, it will obliterate evil. That is, good and evil are not equal powers. Good always overcomes evil. The affirmative attitude will always overcome the negative. This is why we are now told to accentuate the positive and forget the negative. Just keep on thinking about peace. Don't let confusion enter. Affirm the good and forget the evil. This is sound teaching. And so Jesus told us that when we pray, we should get quiet. We should enter the closet of the self, close the door of the senses, and make known our requests. But when we do this, we should be certain that we accept the answer, and then we shall receive it. When ye pray, believe that ye receive, and ye shall have. This whole proposition is so simple that it eludes us. We really are surrounded by a creative mind that reacts to our thinking. The sum total of all thinking really does decide what is going to happen to us. And we actually can change our thinking and cause the very law that limited us to bring us freedom. What more could we ask? What more could be given than this? And so let's proceed to the doing. Going back to our first proposition, that we are surrounded by a mind principle that acts creatively on our thinking, let's see if we can't make this the basis of our belief. Whether we call this mind principle or spirit or God or law or the first cause doesn't make any difference. The only thing that matters is, do we accept that there is a self-operating power, a power which actually can and will do whatever ought to be done for us? If we believe in this and actually accept it, then we are on the right track. Our first proposition, then, is one of faith. We must believe. But since it is natural to believe and to have faith, when we find that we lack these qualities, we now know what to do about it, because belief and faith are mental attitudes. So if we practice affirmative prayer daily by saying, I do have faith, I do have conviction, I do believe, I do understand and know that there is a power greater than I am, and I do believe I can use it. There is nothing in me that can doubt, deny, or limit this power. My whole being accepts it, both consciously and subconsciously. If we do this, we shall be preparing our minds to pray affirmatively, which means that we shall be praying effectively. If there is a principle of mind that reacts on our thinking or our belief, then it naturally follows that if we say it cannot, then it cannot because we don't let it. If we say it won't, then it cannot because we don't permit it. And if we limit it to a little good, it cannot give us a greater good. You see, the power itself is absolute. The way we use it is relative. Our first thing to do, then, is to be certain that we believe. And science, revelation, intuition, and experience teach us that we may believe, we ought to. There is no reason why we should not. What we are believing is true. We can practice believing because thoughts are things. And when we say, I do believe and there is no doubt in me, we do two things. We affirm our belief, and by so doing, build a positive acceptance in the mind. And at the same time, we reject our doubts by denying them. This is the way that our thought works. Realizing that 90% of our thinking is unconscious, we should daily affirm that there is nothing in us that denies the good we affirm, that every experience we ever have had up until now, which denies the good, is wiped out of our mind and memory as a negative force, that we have forgiven our mistakes and encouraged ourselves to go on and do better. We are now ready to entertain our third concept and see if we cannot actually bring ourselves to believe that we really do possess the good we desire right now. We can say, I do affirm the presence of love and friendship, of happiness and prosperity, of health and peace, whatever the need may be. And there is nothing in me that denies, rejects, or refutes it. I do accept it. You will find after you have done this for a while, there will come a gradual acceptance of your affirmation. And you will learn that as the subjective reaction of your thought builds up an affirmative attitude, things will begin to change in your life. Therefore, say, the Father and I are one. This I know to be the truth of my being. I now open my mind and heart to the inflow of the divine spirit and know that the presence of God flows through my being with perfect action and in perfect unity with good. Every function, every organ and action and cell of my body responds to the magnetic pull of wholeness and of perfect life. The love of God fills my being, and my life reflects the divine harmony which eternally guides my footsteps aright. Divine intelligence inspires me, instructs me, gives me the right ideas and the motive to right actions. Divine wisdom illumines me, and infinite intelligence activates me. God is where I am. God is what I am. All that God has is mine now. I know that this perfect life is manifesting in my life. I am free, positive, eternally free. The freedom of God is my freedom. The power of God is my power. The presence of God is within me. The mind of God is my mind. The strength of God is my strength. The joy of God is my joy.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.